we have to create the right vibe, you know, the energy, and everybody at the organization has to feel so privileged to be here. It's no other way.
Thanks for listening to the Purely Arsenal podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Purely Arsenal FP for all the latest Arsenal podcasts.
Welcome to another post-match edition of a Purely Arsenal podcast. There's three of us today. Neil's too depressed, but I've got Michael Harris with me. Very positive, Michael. How are you doing?
Could be better. Could be better. But that's why I'm wearing the classic shirt to try and lift the spirits a bit.
Yeah, remind us of better times. Yeah, exactly. This is also now a classic because better times were simply 3 or 4 months ago when we were winning cup finals.
Yeah.
Jeez, how things can change, right? I've also got James Johnson with me. How you doing, James?
Yes, yeah, I can tell that's an original as well. That's not the remade one, is it, Michael? Is that
it's original? Yeah, it's original. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you
bit,
can tell.
Bit tight. Bit
no,
tight.
No. Yeah. That's what you want. No, you couldn't get the remake when I looked on it. It was too hard. I mean, it's bad enough trying to get an original, but when they re-released it, within seconds it was gone. Yeah, so I've got this where it's just partly printed onto a grey shirt.
That'll do. It's the best I can get. So let's get into the game. Spurs are beating Burnley at the moment. It's very annoying. I don't know how you boys watch. I presume you didn't pay for it, which maybe is a little shining light at the end of it. My brother was watching it through my WhatsApp because I'm in America. You're over there, but somehow we've got it, and it's just very strange, isn't it? Mike, let's go to you first. I don't want to go too much into the lineup. I think it's going to come up when we start talking about two things. I don't think a lot of us had that many issues with it before the game, but when you saw how the game set up, the three central midfielders was a big sort of red flag for me. And then also where you're utilising your best players, namely, you know, placing Aubameyang outright from the start was just another really baffling decision. And I think, Mike, I want your summary overall in the game. I do put a lot of the criticism on this game specifically. I lay it a lot in the manager's lap, to be honest. But also, you know, the players have to take some responsibility as well. But in the end, Mike, I don't think we should have lost the game on the balance of play overall in the 90 minutes. But it does show the naivety, perhaps, of the manager and this group of players, doesn't it?
Yeah, I said it a couple of pods ago, I think, when we were talking about the City game. And that got, I think with Guardiola, he's been labelled with being simplifying things. And I think Arteta, he tried to do it a little bit against them. Again, when we saw the lineup for the City game, we thought, okay, great. We know how it's going to go. Completely different with Willian and false nine. We saw the lineup for the game yesterday, and we thought, all right, okay, that looks all right, you know, on paper. But again, you had the Aubameyang on the right, and you had the three midfielders who we discussed in the previous pod. That would be nice to see them, three of them working together. But with one maybe advanced a little bit more with the two giving security, maybe the other two swapping places, maybe that's Partey or Dani Ceballos. But what we got was just something completely different. You know, we got Xhaka dropping as a, what was it, an auxiliary left back at certain times. I know he's done that earlier on in the season, but it looked like he was in that position from about 15, 20 minutes in and going on until the second half as well. And for me, he's just trying to be a little bit too clever. And I think it's gone to a point now where every game it's a different formation, or it's a slightly variation of the formation, and it's different personnel. And you know, there's no sort of, again, we haven't got an identity again. You know, all we're known for is, okay, we're defensively a little bit more solid now. But if you keep chopping and changing and putting different bodies in all the time and putting people in different places, how are you going to get some sort of rhythm or system or an automatic way of playing that, okay, they know this person's here, they do this triangle, you know, a bit like what they used to do in the past with Henri, Perez and Cole. I think Martin Keown said something, you know, where when he played, he knew if he popped it to Vieira, he'd pop it to Bergkamp, and then bang, Henri or Perez would go. And that was just because they played the same players all the time, you know, and there was none of this, you know, I liken it to Arteta as a guy that, you know, noughts and crosses. He'll try, you know, he'll try and add another grid in there. You know, there's no reason to do that. He'll just add another one just for the sake of it because he doesn't like this because it's too simple. And I think he's getting to that point where he's being like that a bit, how Pep Guardiola, you know, has been labelled it in the past, especially with some of the decisions and some of the people he's played. Why is he playing him in that position for? He's never played in that position before, and suddenly, bang, he's there. And that happened the other day with Aubameyang on the right. Well, you know, I don't think he's ever played on the right side of midfield before, or of the attack. So, yeah, for me, I with you, Jack, I'll agree. It's definitely on Arteta yesterday, and it's just the way we're set up. We're worried about Leicester City, decent side, but you know, if you're not playing your players in your strongest position, like I said before, in that sort of game, what are you waiting for? When are you going to do it? You know, it's really disappointing because we're just throwing away points, and you know, this league's going to be so open this year, and I think we're going to get to a point where we look at the table at the end of the season, and it's looking like we're going to be like, well, if only, you know, you're going to have regrets, and that's a horrible way for the season to go already, to be talking like that 6 or 7 games in. But yeah, he needs to bounce back. I'm not talking about Thursday. We've got to put something in against United, and if we don't, I think everything's going to unravel again like it did before, because it seems like the same things are happening with the previous manager. The players, they didn't look happy at all in the second half. And it's almost like they've had too much information, and it's almost like, you know, just simplify it a little bit. Just have people doing things simply, and rather than, okay, you go there, this person's in a weird position and stuff like that. So there's a lot to take to obviously discuss, but it's definitely on Arteta's hands, this one.
Yeah, I think so. And we'll get into a bit more of the details of it. And agree with a lot of what you said. It's frustrating. Like you said, it's early in the season. I don't think it's a point where we need to be sort of questioning the manager as such. We need to probably support him a little bit. But there is definitely question marks over some of his decisions. One, Aubameyang is incredible, because that's where you get really frustrated as a fan, because there can be an argument of him over on the left or central, and the stats kind of weigh up there as to which one you use, and I'm genuinely supportive of either. I'm just questioning why he's never used central. There's never really been an argument for him over the right. He was used a couple of times on the right early on under Arteta, I think late on maybe under Emery, and he's been non-existent. And for a player that we've already seen through 4 or 5 games this season is literally not only being involved in a game but not getting any real chances in the game. I mean, there was a list Orbino posted of just centre-backs with higher expected goals so far this season than Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. I mean, it's just really low. And so then we go ahead and move him out to the position where we already know he's going to be even less involved than what he is elsewhere. And I think the Pepe question has to come up again here. And one, you know, are we questioning the signing, but also are we questioning the use of the signing? Because again, a 72 million signing that can't get in the team when the player that looks like you've bought to kind of fill his role is unfit for the game, you're starting to really question the manager's faith in him. But James, let's go to you. Let's talk about a little bit about some of the first, let's talk positive. Let's talk a little bit about some of the first half. The Lacazette goal, it's a goal, isn't it, James? I mean, it's a goal. There's a lot of questions in the game, but that is a goal, and it probably changes everything, doesn't it?
Do you know what? The more and more this keeps going, I'm not one that pushes these anti-Arsenal agendas. The refs hate Arsenal. But it's coming down to a point now where you've had the Mane elbow on Tierney. You've had the Walker with Gabriel, and that for me I'm still angry at, because I watched Dermot Gallagher say on Sky that he went, well, you know, if they made the contact there, it would have given the penalty. And I'm like, well, hang on a sec here, so a player's got to be kicked in the skull? A player, the way you're judging it is he's potentially got to be kicked in the head, which could end his life, for us to give a penalty? I'm like, is that the criteria now? Someone's got to be wheeled out. You know, you're more into this than me, Jack. You know, a head injury or something. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, if they swallow their tongue or something, that's the level we got. Someone's got to get that badly hurt in order for something to be given as a penalty. And then this one here, and they've gone, oh, if you were Arsenal, you'd be saying that he's impeding and everything. Schmeichel adjusts. He moves to get a different view of it. So I'm like, I'm sorry, I just cannot. I've watched it so many times and I just cannot for the life of me. And this is the same geezer as well. Sorry, Michael. This is the same geezer as well from, like I said, the Palace game last year with a Socrates goal. It's the same ref. And unlike then, these lot now are encouraged to go to the monitor. And he don't even, because they're so, this is why you need separate refs for the VAR and separate refs that just actually ref games, because they've got a union where they don't want to, you know, they don't want to cost each other and they don't want to grass on each other, because they're like, oh, if I prove him wrong, he might do my game next week and then he'll stitch me up. And it's a blame culture thing, which is why it should just be completely separate. Two entities. But yeah, Michael, sorry, go on, please.
No, sorry, mate. I was just going to say, I watched that incident back again. And when you see Dawson, the referee, he's signalling for offside. He's actually going like that. He's actually saying, it's for offside. He's not saying it's for impeding or whatever. So they're just making it up as they go along, mate. But the way he signalled it, and I think he was talking to whoever was nearby, he was making a line, making a gesture like that. So yeah, it's for offside. It's like.
And what's incredible there is I can't remember it specifically, but I don't really remember much complaint at all from Kasper Schmeichel, really. I don't think he would have even known what that wasn't given for, because he knew Xhaka was no way near him. He's moving away from the ball. He's never getting the ball. Xhaka can do nothing. He's not in the way of anyone. He just gets out of the way of the ball, lets it go in. And it's a good header from Lacazette.
I was just about to say, it's a really, really good header as well.
We're going to obviously criticise Lacazette, because there's a lot to talk about with Alex Lacazette and his play, but it's a really good header. And in the first 15 minutes, I remember one of the sort of main texts, Lacazette looks lively. I like the way he looks at the moment. You know, he's getting in positions, getting chances. And for the most part, he did. But moving on a little bit, Mike, I mean, in the first half, we created 11 shots on goal. They weren't, the concern there, Mike, is that we didn't really test the goalkeeper enough. And also, when you see the second half, you start to see how one-dimensional we are. Because Luis, as James said in the text, had a fantastic first half in terms of distribution of the ball. And again, a lot of things were going down our left side through Saka and Tierney, who I thought were terrific in that first half. Concerns that we didn't put the chances away or test the goalkeeper, Mike, but also concerns with that, as you see the whole 90 minutes, we're very one-dimensional under Mikel Arteta. And if something affects one of those players or something, I mean, we really look like we're running out of ideas.
Yeah, I think James said it in the last pod about the dance move that we seem to be still doing, you know, sideways, to the left or whatever it is. And I think there was a stat with David Luiz. I think he, even though he got injured on the, technically, that was it, the 47th minute, he still made the most passes in the attacking third, you know, and he was substituted, you know, literally at half time, you might as well say, and he still had the highest number of passes. And I think Arteta was talking afterwards about the missing David Luiz, and he was talking about what he was capable of doing. So he's talking about your centre back as being your creative outlet. That's a big worry. And he was talking about Bellerin as well, getting into some positions. And again, it's a defender. Talking about defender as being a creative outlet. So for me, it was like a bit of naivety again. You know, Arteta's learning curve or whatever you want to call it. But we've been in situations like this. We've seen situations like this before under Arsene Wenger, where we're playing against a team with a low block, and you know, and what do we do? And we normally had a guy, obviously, who's the guy who's live streaming in Twitch, playing Twitch. But we also had another guy called Aaron Ramsey, and what he used to do, he used to pop the ball left or right, and then he used to make late runs into. In you know, whether the ball was going to be cut back or whether they were going to be crossed in, and you pick up a little bit of pieces. But what that would do, that would just get the defences on the back foot. The only player that we've got currently kind of does something like that, even though he's got a little bit stick, is Willock, who, one, brings energy, and two, he's pretty much the only one that goes that way, you know, who gets the ball and he wants to go that way. So, and I think when he came on against Liverpool in the League Cup, I think it was League Cup, and he should have scored in that game because he made that sort of run. He got the ball, he played it out wide, and then he got a header and he messed up the header, but he got there. And we were crying out for something like that. You either do that or you either say to party, look, you just go. Just go there for 10 minutes. Just give it 10 minutes. We've still got time. Give it 10 minutes and just cause some disruption. But no, it was just flat, and it was just sideways. And, you know, he needs to fix that creative side. He needs to get that movement going, because this is what, 6 or 7 games in. This is what it'd be like for the foreseeable. So, as far as I'm concerned, I just don't get it, really, in how all that sort of goodwill we've got. Now, when he came in, Arteta, he was trying to put out, you know, the run that we was on. We was on a terrible run of games. We couldn't win the game. So, right, sort the defence out, make us a little bit tighter, fine. Then lockdown came, and then post-lockdown, he sort of refined it. He got a little bit of a system going, and that's fine. Continue with that. It bore us through, obviously, winning the cup. But you've done that bit now. Now, let's push on. Let's try a bit more creative and everything. And he hasn't. He's been really, really cautious, for whatever reason. And I think a result like yesterday is the honeymoon's definitely over now. You know, the honeymoon period's gone. So the goodwill and everything is gone. I just think he's got to be careful, because the players, they're going to, where, like I said, with last week with Lacazette, he was doing all those doggies. He was doing the runs for this guy because it was new, it was fresh. You know, he could understand what he needed to do, because the other guy, he couldn't understand him. And then it gets to a point where you get frustrated about what you have to do, and you saw that with Lacazette's performance after it's funny, after he got they gave that free, I think it was a free kick he gave away, a really silly one of the ones he gave away, and his performance just went like that. He just nosedived. And again, I just think it's a frustration. He doesn't want to keep doing this. He wants to see some results from it. And the body language yesterday, second half from all of them, was terrible. So yeah, he's got a lot of work in his hands, man. He's got a hell of a lot of work to do.
Yeah, and you know, some people asked me yesterday, you know, if Unai Emery hadn't won the Europa League, would he, you know, how long would he have got? I said, yeah, he would have bought himself some time, of course. You know, would have won a trophy like that, would have been in Champions League next season, maybe now to buy different players, would have bought himself some time, and rightly. And Arteta, in fairness, in half the amount of time, has bought himself for sure some time. And we're not questioning his position at this point or anything. But what we are questioning is what we see. And this is where the performances really come into it, isn't it? Because if the performances are there, you can look at a result like that and go, just one of those things. But if your performances aren't there, you expect the result. As soon as the results go away, you start questioning, basically, what are we watching here? And that's why the world blows up to an Arsenal fan when you lose a game like this, because you're going, well, that was 90 minutes of my time. I didn't enjoy watching it, and I didn't enjoy the end result. So, and a lot of that has been the case this season in terms of the performances, and it's, that's a consistency. We've really lacked the ability to enjoy those games. Mike touched on something there, James, about creativity, and I think a lot of the way that I watched Aston Villa versus Leeds on Friday, it was an enjoyable game, and I watched Bielsa and the way he kind of set his team up, and he decided after 20 minutes he'd attack a central midfielder off, mainly because he was worried he was going to get a red card, but he just whipped him off. Now what you watch in this game is maybe he didn't know how Leicester were going to set up, but it was really clear after about 10 minutes that Leicester's game plan, we all said it, was to basically sit back for as long as possible, hold us off, and then bring on their number one striker to try and grab a goal on a break. It was really obvious from the get-go. At that point, why do you play three deep-lying central midfielders that really all have similar roles in terms of this type of game where a team's sitting with 10 behind the ball? And then in terms of the negativity, you start making them fill left back and right back roles in order to push your fullbacks on, rather than pushing them into a central position and saying, let's create more centrally, because all of our creation is out wide. None of it's centrally. So I think a lot of that plays into what we start to think is an overly cautious approach from a manager in a game that we all felt was a must-win game. That should have changed, James. Whether you should have started it or not is 50-50. I don't think you necessarily should have started the three, but you should have looked at that and gone, they all played 90 minutes, I believe. So all three central midfielders played 90 minutes, and that is, that's I get really irritated with that, because that was, there is no evidence that those three central midfielders should be staying on for 90 minutes.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. And again, it goes back to the initial setup. You're playing those three. All of us at home, when that first come through, we're all like, oh, so is it Xhaka at the base and Partey and Ceballos going, you know, like what Michael said in terms of Willock, and another point he makes there, for all of his faults, there's another bloke who's on loan at Union Berlin who does that as well. All right, unfortunately, he's had what's happened to him now, but he's another one that when he did come on, he wanted to go that way. He didn't do his sideways and all. He wanted to drive forward. And again, it's like what I said on the last podcast, you know, we've now got that Ferrari, but we still want to drive the Prius. We want to be in the Prius. And it's like, no, come on, we got the Ferrari now. Let's get the Ferrari and let's get going. I mean, he's been there three games. Okay, he had 8 minutes in the first one. Look at that video I sent you earlier. Fuming with him, because it's cowardly. And I'm not saying it's to stat pad and go, well, look how good I look on bloody Who Scored or Squawker, because I'm getting five, you know, I'm doing my little 5-yard passes and my ticker's going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's mental. It is absolutely mental. And the other picture I sent today in the group, I know it's hard because we can't put the pictures on the screen. That, if you want to play Danny Ceballos as an auxiliary right mid / right wing back, put Maitland-Niles there. Like, what? That guy is brilliant at winning the ball high up. Why is he deep so Bellerin can go? That guy is the best. Obviously, Partey's here now, so he probably would be better at. But in terms of this club at this moment in time, that guy is, as well with Eddie and Nketiah when he's not giving the fouls away. That's one thing I will say. He's got to knock that out of his game. But
at least Lacazette beat him for that this time, didn't he?
Well, yeah. Exactly. But I mean, he's the best at winning the ball high up, but you've got him 10 or 15 yards back. And then the time, like you said, Leicester sussed it completely. The time where you're thinking, right, now we've got to drop 5 or 10 yards back because you know who's come on and he always scores against Arsenal. Mustafi and Xhaka are nowhere to be seen. You know, I called it the other week, you know, Lacazette and Ceballos look like they're running in Timberlands through custard. It's Xhaka this week.
Just to come in there, James, though, sorry to interrupt you. But
No, go on, please.
We can go ahead to the goal. I want to come back to a couple of things on Lacazette and and our solutions as well. But just, did you look at the line for their goal? It's incredible. Like, look at the defensive line. It's absolutely incredible. And what it reeked off to me, I was having an argument with a few people on Twitter about whose fault it was. I understood it wasn't just one person's fault. But what it reeked off to me was players not trusting other players to do their role. Because what we have is, and a lot of it's down to the manager, because the manager was clearly putting Xhaka back into the left back role, and Ceballos and screaming at Ceballos. There's a video out there of him screaming at the push over to the right. So he's dropped Xhaka back into the left. There's no need to drop him back. Tierney's there. So you've got him one on one with a player who we know Xhaka has no recovery speed. We've known it for 4 years. So you put him as the deepest player, do you? And then I feel sorry for Mustafi, because he's come into a game clearly, you know, probably not ready to come into a game yet. But we also know his errors of trying to fill other people's roles. And Mustafi's decided, well, three central midfielders isn't enough for this game. I'm going to be the fourth. So I'm going to go into centre midfield and just fill space. Right. And there's Gabriel, who's our centre back, who is an unbelievably good centre back. And he's suddenly starting to look average on a goal, because all these players don't know what they're in the wrong position.
Have you seen the video, though, where they show the angle of it before the play actually
progresses? Gabriel telling him to pull back.
Gabriel twice. He's going to him twice. Yeah. And I'm like, whatever broken language that's in, because I know he hasn't got English. So if it was, you know, Portuguese, French, or I don't know if the guy can speak German, but whatever he was saying, I'm like, he's doing it with his hands, let alone, you know, football's a universal language. And I'm like, this guy is brand new and he's telling this geezer that's been here a long time. And let's be honest, I've had people going to me, oh, stop ripping on Mustafi because he's unfit and da-da-da. I'm like, no. Mustafi's injury, as far as I knew, was an ankle and a thigh. I went, there was no injury to his brain. I'm like, you know that you need to be 5 or 10 yards deeper with Vardy. And you know what? Mustafi, he probably would have got that tackle away, because that's sometimes when it's last ditch and whatever, that's sometimes where he's at his best. But he just is completely, he's completely off the boil there.
Yeah, exactly what you said, James, you know, and I'll take on what you said, Jack, in terms of Mustafi coming in out of the cold, you know, first game, give yourself 10 yards or 5 yards at least, just give yourself that security. And he didn't do that. He did it again later on when Vardy went through and Leno saved it. But, you know what I mean, at least give yourself a little bit of a security blanket. So, you know, touching back to Bert Leno's security blanket with David Luiz, looks like it's Mustafi's needed one this time. Because if you drop off, what does that do? It limits the space that maybe Vardy could run into. Leno could come out a little bit more to cut out the through ball. You know, it was just, for me, I don't know why Xhaka was doing that. Left-sided centre. He didn't need it, because they didn't have anyone there until, obviously, Brendan Rodgers is there right on the touchline watching this, thinking, oh, you know, if I put a speedy guy on here, you know, in this right in that position, you know, because it doesn't seem like Xhaka's going anywhere. So if I just pop this little unknown guy on, a bit of pace, slide the ball through, bang, you know, and that was it. And when you saw the celebrations, there's a coach or someone, one of Rodgers' coaches, turning at him saying, oh, look, you see that come off that, you know, that came from you seeing that. And it's just easy. It's just really simple. We're not playing. When go back to Leicester, Vardy came on there and he had two chances, two typical Vardy chances, sliding it through, you know, and getting on the end of it. So when Rodgers first came to Leicester, the talk was, well, Vardy's on the way out, because Rodgers likes to play possession-based football. He doesn't like the way Leicester won the league, the counter-attacking stuff. Well, what has he done? He's played to his best player's strengths. That's what he's done. He's compensated for some of his philosophy, which is this possession football, but he's mixed it with a counter-attacking side. And that's what Arteta needs to do, basically, now. Aubameyang's looking at that and he's thinking, Jesus Christ, look at that. He's been on 20 minutes. He's had two chances that I would love to have, because this team is playing to his strengths, because he's the main man. Do you know what I mean? It's that simple. Play to your strengths of the best person you've got, or the person that can win you games. Because we're not getting battered. We lost by one goal again. So if we created chances, decent ones, we would have won that game yesterday.
Yeah, the game was there for the taking. And you're right. And then the argument comes up as why Arteta isn't playing to his best player strength. So, for example, this game, Partey, we haven't seen enough of Partey, but we already know he's a level above what we've got. It's completely the manager's fault to then ask the players. I mean, I think Partey, he got like half the amount of touches than Xhaka did. But this team is trained to play through Xhaka. They've been trained to play through Xhaka for 2 or 3 years. So if you want to change the way we play, drop one of your central midfielders to put Partey in. Make a big call and drop one of them that hasn't done it for you to get you to the level you need to be for years.
I've seen from one game that you now have to go, it's Partey and one of the other, not all three. It's in one game. In one game, you've just seen, nope, never again. That's not happening. So
let's talk. I mean, that's absolutely true. The argument there is why Arteta hasn't seen that yet, right? And another argument there is who, like Mike said, play to your best player's strengths. Now, I want to come to Nicolas Pepe. I think we've all got arguments for and against here. But what isn't arguable is that, well, he's not an Arteta signing, but he's a $72 million signing that we put a 5-year contract on. Now, you can argue about the guy sitting at home tweeting every 5 minutes to try and create chaos and frenzy amongst the fan base. But that's not an Arteta signing that he has to, or it's not an Arteta player that he has to get the best out of. He's coming to the end of his contract. Other managers have done what Arteta's done, really, in a way. They've not removed him from the entire lineup, but you know what I mean. They've dropped him multiple times. This is not new information that we're getting from Arteta as such, right? And Brendan Rodgers quotes on that hinted at such, you know, not knowing the full story behind some players that maybe don't really have their heart in playing top level football anymore. But Nicolas Pepe, and I want to talk about Lacazette as well, James, let's start with you. Nicolas Pepe, I think he's been pretty average this season when he's played, but I think he's been used terribly this season.
Well,
that's my argument here. Like, I think he's been used terribly, right? And if you look at the good games, right? Sorry, just if you look at the good games he's had, you talk about Leicester away in the League Cup. You talk about the Europa League midweek. He didn't think he was fantastic. You talk about Sheffield United. But in all those games, he had a positive impact at some point on the game in terms of creation or goal scoring, right? And in those games, it was quite simple what you did. You gave him the ball a lot, and you played him in the one position we know he's effective, which is the right side. Again, in this game, you bring him on, you play him down the left side. It's never worked, not once for us.
There you go. You've done it.
But Jack, I think out of all the players, I think you have to get the most out of this player. I think you really do.
Oh, 100%. But the thing is, you've literally answered your own question there before even throwing it over to me.
I have a bad habit of that, and I've been trying.
Yeah, but no, that's fine. No, that's fine though. That's fine. That's not a problem, because that's anyone with eyes can see it. Jack, you're not the only one. Anyone with eyes can see it, and the problem is that when he plays well, like you've just said, on the right hand side with an overlapper and everybody else in the right place. Sheffield United, Willian moved into that cam. You got Aubameyang down the middle for that period. You got Saka on the left. Bang, 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 bang. I'm like, you chuck him on and you're putting him on the wrong side, and he's, you know, God almighty, he's trying to beat five or six players and everything else because he believes in himself that he can do it, which is fine, because sometimes he can beat the man and swaz that into the top bins and everything else. But you need to, it's square pegs in round holes. You know, it's that what Michael's talking about earlier. He's being Heston Blumenthal, trying to be all clever and everything, when you just need a kebab or a pizza or whatever. it's overcomplicating things that everyone else can see is simple. And it's a case of Thursday, you'll probably touch on it later, but Thursday, just whatever, it's a completely different team. But Sunday, and in training up until Sunday, let's strip it back to basics. Let's get people in the right places and let's just play good, smart, quick football. Because they're, Man United, especially at the back, are just as ropey as we can be. And I'm telling you now, speed kills. So fast, aggressive, you know, through the lines, proper football. But you go on about Lacazette, we always keep saying it, confidence player. He gets his goal taken away from him. And then, like you said as well, he gives away that free kick and he just dips. But the chance, the second header, and it's nearly, again, it's another high foot which you can contest, but he has to score that. And I'm telling you now, if it was Eddie Nketiah instead of him, the pelters online would have been unbeaten. And I'm not saying that because, you know, I'm a bit of an Eddie Nketiah stan. You know, I'm being realistic. Eddie Nketiah would have been, get out my club. Oh, go on, go. Because it's Lacazette, it's fine. And I'm sorry, he is the top scorer. But let's look at his goals. The West Ham one, the header, classy. The one against Fulham, if he misses that, he needs to leave. Because Christ almighty, if you're missing from a yard out, you've got to go. And then the one against Liverpool, he scuffs the finish. It's only because it bobbles and goes. So he hasn't really scored any goals that are, oh God, that's world-class play. That's amazing. And another thing is he's got this hole where he works really, really hard, and he does. I sometimes feel that's detrimental because he's trying to do so much of that when he's not scoring to overcompensate, so that I think he sort of thinks too much of what people think about him on the outside, and that he's like, I've got to work really hard, otherwise, because I'm not scoring, people think I'm lazy. But I would be going, I don't want to see you out of that 18-yard box, Lacazette.
But I don't
want you in that bit.
I don't think that's what Arteta wants from that role. No, that's the issue we've got here. We've got a manager that wants a false nine that is going to drop deep and do two parts of the game and sit himself further away from the goal generally. And so the solution, and you make really good points on Lacazette, and that was an awful finish and he took his eyes off the ball, didn't connect with it at all.
Yeah.
Terrible. I agree. And I think after that, he just started fouling players. He looks terribly unfit for a striker.
The other problem we got as well is that the reason why Aubameyang is not being played central is because people keep going, oh yeah, but back to goal and the hold-up play, we're going to lose it. Lacazette's got... I ain't seeing hold-up play from Lacazette. And then if he does hold it up, who's running in front of him from deep like we've all discussed earlier? So that facet of the game, we're not even doing. So take it... I feel bad. I do feel bad because I want nothing more than Lacazette to be a 20-30 goal a season striker, but I don't think he is. And also, I think he is going to go. But second to that, as well, is I think he's literally only there at the moment because he's Aubameyang's best friend.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that one, but I do notice that, I mean, obviously there's a reluctance to play, and I don't think our solution is as simple as play Aubameyang central, because when you watch our performance as a whole, Mike, there's just so much lacking in terms of creativity through central spaces. So if we're going to move Aubameyang central, we have to change the way that we play. Just to touch back on Pepe, Mike, why do you think it's not working? Maybe you don't rate the player, or do you think it's more on the usage or from the manager's point of view? Or do you think it's a bit of both?
I think it's a bit of both. We all saw obviously the running and his performances in the semi-final and the cup final, and we thought, yep, he's turned the corner. He's got this really good partnership now with Bellerin. You know, one goes outside, one goes in. You know, and the overlapping, and then start the season. You know, Willian starts. You know, the first couple of games, and you know he's frozen out. You know, again, we're not privy to what his application was like. During you know at training, but I think like James, you know, someone like him, you know, you have to keep playing him. You know, this is obviously he's had a full season. I still think there's things there where he's. I think there's something about him. There isn't that killer instinct there, or he hasn't got the presence of a big game presence or big player presence yet. Yes, he tore it up in France and all those clips of him. He just looks unbelievable, but he lets games sort of pass him by. But then that can't be helped if he's not getting the ball, you know. And they're attacking down the other side. I think you have to. He's one of the players that you have to play, you know, players in the right positions and play him on the right. But I do feel for him. But at the same time, he's had opportunities the last few weeks, and you know he pulled out the fire a little bit against Rapid Vienna with the free kick and then the way he played. But there's sometimes where he just doesn't grab the game by the scruff of the neck, and I think he needs to do that. But I don't think Arteta. He feels he's obligated to do that, because again he's like you said, he's not his player, he didn't buy him, but because we've got him on that long contract, it's his duty to try and get the best out of him, try and improve him, and you're only going to do that if you play him more in his favoured position, you know. So like James was saying, just play, you know, players in the right positions. You know, if we do that, if we between us three can put a team together, you know, with players in the right positions, I'm sure we've got a team that's strong enough to go down to Old Trafford and turn them over. But we know for a fact, when we see that team sheet, we're going to see those players on that team sheet, but they'll be in different positions. So that's the thing, you know, they'll be having different tasks to do. And I think that's what it is. It all boils down to it. I think he's over-egging it. I really think
we've got to get him off them corners as well. I'm sorry. He takes corners like he's taking a penalty. I'm like, why are you swazzing a corner like that? Just take a corner.
Like, yeah, if Willian's playing, chuck him on both sides. Yeah.
I love Pepe to bits, but watch it. And like, we keep going on about how we got this set piece guy in. I just think it's defensive. I don't think it is offensive, because our corners are dreadful. There was the one, that, apart from the one that we obviously scored from, I think Ceballos took another one and it just flew over every single person. And I'm like, oh, come on, buddy. I'm like, you're on loan. I'm like, you need to do bits to maybe, because I'm like, you ain't going to go back to Madrid on this form.
Just to go back to I want to move off the Pepe one and talk a little bit about, you know, how the game ended and Lacazette. But what do we know? I thought earlier, I was like, what do we know about Arteta? Because what makes me quite anxious is I don't feel I know enough about him. And I don't, this is his hardest period. I think we're at a crossroads here. It's his hardest period. And can he come out of it? And does he have the solutions? And he speaks a great game, right? He speaks a great game, but it all comes down to what you do on the pitch at the end of the day. And what I think, the reason Pepe doesn't start is, I think the Willian signing was a real evidence of this, is because he was adamantly keen on Willian signing. You can see that from the fact that he started every game that he's fit in the Premier League, no matter how we're playing. Is he loves hybrid players. He loves players that can fill multiple roles. Like Sterling said last week, if you don't run, you don't play, right? So if you do not run for him, run with some urgency constantly both ways, you do not play. I think that's one issue with Pepe. And he loves players that do not lose the ball. And the issue we've got with Pepe in the latter two is, I think he looks at him and says, he doesn't do enough for me both ways. And, you know, he's going to lose the ball more than other players because he's going to take more risks than other players. And he needs to be better with that. He needs to run with the ball better. He can't lose the ball as often, especially in key areas for turnovers, etc. But when we see how stagnant and one-dimensional our attack is, all I see with him is ability to create and ability to make a difference. And I would be willing to sacrifice the structure and the organization component, because I feel we're just so embedded into that it's making us appear, one, really, really tedious to watch, but also just really, really predictable in the way we attack positions. So I thought about that earlier. James, just to go back, I mean, must-start players. We keep talking about must-start players. I mean, who are our must-start players? And there's an argument there. I mean, Leno's a given because we ain't got another goalkeeper. So made a little error at the start again. I don't know if you remember. It was so far back, Madison. But after that, who are your must-start players? And I would say there's about six or seven. There has to be six or seven now because of the way we're set up. But who are yours?
So the entire back five for me that played yesterday. Bellerin's must start for me, yeah.
Bellerin's must start.
Louise, Gabriel and Tierney.
Okay, and so including Leno. Okay, go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, carry including on. Leno, so that's five. You got partied at six. Yeah. And then I would say Aubameyang and Saka, so eight. And the others you got to figure out.
Yeah, and then it's putting those players in the right position.
Yeah,
would you say anywhere else, Mike? Would you say less than that? There's a couple I personally, in my head, don't think maybe are starters, but they are for sure right now with James. But
yeah, I'll go with that. Was it eight? Is it eight? You said
yeah.
So there's obviously three positions that you need to fix, or you need to put a sticking plaster over until January or until certain individuals are fit. You know, Martinelli, he comes back into mix, he would be one. If he comes back to the way he was playing before he got injured, sadly, if he comes anywhere near back to that, he makes it number nine. And then you're putting a little bit of pressure on the likes of Emil Smith Rowe, but again, you know, we know he's got the ability, but he needs to get some games under his belt. He needs to get some Europa League games under his belt, and then maybe in the second half of the season, who knows? But yeah, I think when he's fit, Martinelli makes that nine. But yeah, it's getting a bit desperate now, because that defeat yesterday, we've gone down to what, 11th now, so. You know, it could have been third, but
it's really so open as well.
It's so open
because Louise, I think, is going to be out for a long time. possibly.
I think Saka could be as well, but I don't know if he's.
I think Saka looked like he's hurt. And then
played him in midweek.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, wholeheartedly agree with you. But then middle through the game, we ain't even talked about this yet. We got Aubameyang taking painkillers from when he got kicked by that Sander Berge at against Sheffield United.
Mm-hmm. Are we sure that's what he was taking? Are we? I thought it might be a vitamin pill or something. You know, you never know.
Yeah. But... No, I think it was painkillers. Yeah. I think it was. Yeah. But okay, we're playing a semi-fit Aubameyang. You know, we're overly relying on a 18, 19-year-old to create and bail us out, which isn't wrong, by the way, because he's a brilliant 18 or 19-year-old. But I go back to what I said ages ago about these young players. You've got to take a look at Michael Owen. Michael Owen was thrown in at the deep end and was sensational. Now, I'm not comparing him to any. Michael Owen was different.
Career was over after.
Yeah. But he got kicked and kicked and kicked. And that's what these teams will do. Because they know that Saka is that tricky player. You know, you don't want to get spun up by an 18, 19-year-old boy. It's embarrassing. Yeah. So they're just gonna nail him. And he's tough. I will say he's tough. But they are going to clatter him. They are going to keep clattering him.
Well, the concern there, though, for me, James, watching the game, was one, when Luis come off, obviously, it's just incredible to me that we have so many centre-backs. We can never field a healthy pair for more than a couple of weeks. But also, what's incredible...
With eight centre-halves at the start of the season, end up with two.
Yeah, and the Saliba's decision, specifically in midweek games currently, becomes more and more baffling by the week when you see the centre-backs that we've got fit. We're basically having to play the same centre-backs in every game now because he wasn't included in the Europa League squad. Basically, that's what we're looking at. And you could argue Socrates as well. I personally agree with that decision, but, you know, really, really odd that you're not going to include... especially when you see a lot of the training videos where he is being included a lot in the first team training. So you just wonder what's going on there. And Mike obviously mentioned Fofana, and you guys did on the text, and guy that was really, you know, almost an understudy to Saliba at St. Etienne, and man of the match performance for him against us yesterday. So that's really baffling. But then Saka, he was injured for a while in the game before we decided to take him off. We did eventually take him off, I believe. But the reason we kept him on was because we're so one-dimensional. All of our attacking outlets coming through with a player that basically is going, I'm gonna take everyone on here. I'm gonna do one or two. I'm gonna drive the ball. I'm gonna drive with the ball rather than playing sideways passes. And that's incredible that we're putting this amount on a 19-year-old. He's good enough to hold it, I think, in a sense. But we shouldn't be flowing all of our attacks through that player. We've got to be more varied than that, and it's just incredible that we're not. And that's the concern. You're not going to win a lot of games if you're not able to create volume of chances. The encouraging part was we did in the first half. I would argue we didn't test the goalkeeper hardly at all. I think the only time I can really remember testing the goalkeeper was the one chance in the second half, which was Bellerin's volley, which was our only chance in the second half. But other than that, all the good chances and play in the first half, other than Lacazette's wrongly ruled out goal, we didn't create... we didn't test him enough. Some of the headers I thought were poor, you know, Aubameyang's and Lacazette's. I felt some people could say it's above them. I was watching it going, should have got
that
over
a bad
that.
Miss.
Bad that misses, a bad miss. Yeah, bad misses. So really concerned that, you know, if you can't win it, you get out there with a point. I think we would have been concerned with a point anyway. But again, it's more the way we got it. Silly decisions, silly positional decisions with players, reluctance to remove a central midfielder from the role and really go for the game. Found it very odd that, to be honest, and rather than just reply again we were resorting to putting players in wrong positions, bringing them on. Eddie out right. I mean, it is incredible to me that the three central midfielders and Lacazette, who couldn't walk after 30th minute because he's so unfit, we were both played, not all played 90 minutes. All played, unbelievable. I mean, it's really a managerial error in this game, I think. And let's hope it's a one-off because he's done some really good things. But we're concerned with the performance. Fans' questions. Mike, go to you. Easy one. Is the first red flag about Arteta? This is from Camahello, top man over in South Africa. Always gives us questions. Only got 17 people following. Go follow Camahello. Camahel 305-68374 because he asks great questions. How can our left-back be our most creative player after our centre-back? Mike, it's what we've discussed, isn't it? What's your solution, Mike? Some people will say you need the one player in the hole, right? And that's where they start to refer back to what Mesut Ozil did, you know, in his prime. Is it as simple as that? And who would you use?
I'd change formation. I think I said before, I'll go 4-2-3-1. And that enables for me, you know, if I play that formation, I'll play Aubameyang up top. And then the midfield, you can have, you know, you can have Partey or Xhaka, or Xhaka and Dani Ceballos. And then in the three in front, you know, then you can go with whoever, Willian, Saka, Pepe. And I just think that's probably the only way you're going to maybe get some sort of creativity or at least some movement from Aubameyang if he's leading the line, because he's very he does make intelligent runs when he's there. But this three at the back or whatever he's doing is, you know, Tierney can still bomb on and still do the overlaps and still get the crosses in. I mean, the cross for Aubameyang's miss, unbelievable cross. Absolutely, he had no right. Done the defender. Lovely bit of play. He could still do that in a four. I would change the formation personally to 4-2-3-1. I mean, that's what we kind of played when Ozil was there with Giroud up top, with Sanchez on the other side, and what you found the majority of the game, I think, with all the stats with those two, most of the passes they made were between each other because they were able to make things, spark things off each other. And I think, you know, if you have those three across, maybe interchanging, maybe especially Willian and Saka interchanging, maybe Pepe staying on that right hand side, we saw against Sheffield United when they were doing that. You know, Sheffield United couldn't live with us for that 20 minutes. So I think for me, that's what I would do. I would change it to 4-2-3-1. And again, and when you do that, you're putting players in their right positions. You're not putting Aubameyang out on the left or on the right. Pepe's in his position. Willian's in his position. Aubameyang's in where he wants to be. Xhaka and Partey are in their positions where they want to be, or whether you want to play Ceballos a little bit closer to in that three as well. So I think you play everyone where they should be playing in their positions. You're not trying to reinvent the wheel, so to speak.
Sounds so simple when you say it, Denny, but you know, when it comes to next Sunday, we're going to be seeing multiple things away from that. And that is the frustrating things when you're not getting the results, but you're also not getting the performances that we're looking for. Atui Prince, at Atui Prince, is in Nigeria. All these people listening from different areas of the world, and thoughts, you know, with everything that's going on in Nigeria as well, it's absolutely...
Yeah, stay safe over there.
Yeah, stay safe. It's shocking what we're seeing. But I'm not going to bite at this one, but he says, why axe Mesut Ozil when we don't have a creative midfielder? All I'm going to say to that, too, Prince, I'm not going to give it to James, because we're going to go into 15 minutes of all of us wanting to speak on it, but is, like we said on the last podcast, he has to find solutions now. It's not really, you know, we can't talk about players that aren't in the squad. I mean, we can do, but it's not going to change anything. It's like talking about transfers in January. It's not going to change anything. So we have to deal internally with what we have now. I agree with Mike, whether it's a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3, we have to play players in their right position in that kind of format. And if you're going to play one in the hole, I'm fine with it being Saka or Willian or an interchange between the two. And I'd love to see... you know, especially in the games in midweek, a fit and healthy Smith Rowe used there, just to see what level we're dealing with and how creative he can be, because these youngsters have to be watching these games at the moment, even the likes of Reece Nelson, and thinking, I've got a chance here if I put in a performance like Saka put in at Frankfurt last season. That's what I think. But some other ones. James, does it seem... Melvin Marks, good man, Melvin, always gives us a question. Does it seem a strange phenomenon that players that underperform sometimes are defended by others, saying that they must be terrific in training? Even if that's the case, how many points are won in training? Now, I don't know who specifically he's talking about. Maybe you can allude to it a little bit more, James.
No. I think the main suspect there is Granit Xhaka. The main consensus that you get from everybody is that Granit Xhaka in training is the ideal. You know, he's the leader, he's the man, etc., etc. If it's not Melvin, please comment. You know, he normally comments every single week. So if I'm wrong, comment underneath and say who you think it is. But no, I wholeheartedly agree with him. I mean, my job where I am, where I work, you know, local government and what have you, we have to go on the phones. And the phones get switched on at 8:30. But the majority of people, we come in at 8 o'clock, and all of them are giving it the big one about what they're going to do, what they're going to say and everything else. That phone rings at 8:30 and they don't know who's on the end of it, and they crumble, some of them. Some of them, unfortunately, they crumble. And, you know, that's, I mean, there's not even fans there. So I don't know. Do you know what I mean? I don't know what it is. And, yeah, he's wholeheartedly right. Yeah. How many points are won in training? But then I do come back to it and I go, what is it that they're being trained on? Because clearly this system that's being implemented at the moment by this manager, and I'm not trying to dig him out. I'm not Arteta out. I don't want him sacked. I'm not giving it, he weren't my choice anyway, you know, like some of these other, you know, flannels and wafflers that are, you know, going around on the old social medias. But he has got serious questions that don't get asked to him in press conferences. They don't. Nobody's asking him what I really want to be asked and I think needs to be asked of him. But he's sticking to a principle, and it comes back to the element of fear. And that element of fear is that he knows the defenders that he has really aren't that great to a certain extent. However, he's made them better. Plus, he's got people around now. Like I said last time, we've got people there now. Gabriel's terrific. He's absolutely terrific. Again, yesterday, if David Luiz gets taken off, he's probably my second best one, along with Tierney and Saka. He's in my top, you know, three or four of who played.
Unfortunately, I think the only option for him right now is and I think we're going to see it on Sunday, is he'll move to a back three with Niles at left wing back, because the reason he'll do that is because he can't trust Mustafi in a back four. Nope. Can't at all. And he's got no other option. He's not going to throw Saliba in. We can talk about Saliba all we like. He's not going to throw him in.
It's Martial hasn't had a shot on target or something all season.
He'll score a hat trick.
Yeah, you know for a fact he's going to score this weekend.
Yeah.
We're hungry for 3 points. Marcus Rashford ain't going to be making us dinners and everything. He ain't going to make a dinner of 3 points for us, is he? He ain't going to win a seat.
It's incredible. You can go to Old Trafford. It doesn't matter what form they're in or whatever. You can go there and you just not confident getting anything.
I had this discussion earlier. Because when I did my video, they went, oh, yeah, but, you know, this is the worst Man United. We said they had Moyes. We've said this for 5 years.
Yeah,
we still haven't done it.
Don't mean nothing.
The thing is, no matter how embarrassing we think they are and everything else like that, you want to watch their podcast Sunday night if we win. Because they'll be giving it, oh, they've been tatters, look at them, they've been scraping. If we win, it'll be hilarious to watch all their fan TVs and whatever, because they will be going mental.
We're a long way from it, but yeah, I'll keep my fingers crossed for it.
They'll be fuming if we get something out of that.
Melvin also asked about the honeymoon period. Really, you have the usual suspects that considerably raise their game under Mikel Arteta run out of his magic dust. And I think I'm not going to go too much into detail in that question, Melvin, because I think Mike touched on it a little bit, but I think he has to make the big calls now. And the concern is that how much pull does the Ozils still have amongst the group? You know, he's still very involved with the group in a daily training basis. And he has to be careful about, you know, who he starts to drop, but he really has to consider what is best for the team at this point. And he can't consider emotional reactions and you know, hurt feelings and things like that. So he has to look at the likes of, you know, whether it is, I'm not saying it is, but whether it is the likes of Granit Xhaka and Alexandre Lacazette and go, we've got to move beyond this now. These are the reason that I bought in players. This is the reason that I gave out big contracts. And it was his decision, right? He was the one that convinced Aubameyang. If he's convincing Aubameyang to sign that contract, he must convince Aubameyang that he's gonna make him create look, more chances for him than dunk at Brighton, right? Because that's
we used to criticise Wenger and Emery for picking favourites. And it's coming home to roost again. It's like Arteta is picking these people. And you know for a fact they shouldn't be picked because their performances aren't justifiable for them to be in the team.
My hope is we sit here in a few weeks and we say this is a result that we needed. I'm not convinced it is, but my hope is it is. Mike, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it seems like it's a bit of Groundhog Day because I think the same thing kind of happened with Emery and Ozil, where he sort of phased him out, didn't pick him, you know, and then we went on a run of games, weren't creating chances. Players looked a bit peeved off, you know, why, Aubameyang and Lacazette won the score, they're not getting the chances created. And then he sort of has to bow down and get him back in the team. And that was with, obviously, the crowds in the stadium and who was singing Ozil's name all the time. And it seems like it might be the same sort of thing. Obviously, I know he's not registered this time, so it's not like he can come back next week. But it seems like, obviously, Ozil's still got this clique of players. We saw we all know the players who liked the post he made, and then Maitland-Niles came out and said, you know, this was after the last game, said once we come back from Vienna, once we get back, we'll be able to sort it out, whatever that means.
Didn't play either, Mike. I want you to continue.
No.
Did the conference, didn't play a minute.
Didn't play.
Anything on those words?
So who knows, yeah. Who knows, that could have been, you know, a little thing. Well, why are you talking at a turn? And he didn't feature again yesterday. So it could be, you know, that you know, elephant in the room, playing Twitch and live streaming. We keep cutting down. Was it 9 months ago? You know, it seems like forever, doesn't it? It's like pregnancy. But
is elephant in the room a new game, or is that just a figure of speech? I don't know. When you say that, I don't keep up with the. This is where you need Neil, because Neil and Anthony know all the games, mate. I was going to say, is elephant in the room a new one? Is it?
But one thing that did. Turn the board's hand and get them to actually pull the trigger. Or, you know, I'm not saying we're going to pull the trigger on Arteta, but one of the things that did get things to Fahrenheit, whatever you want to call it, was the crowd and the reaction to Emery and the way we were playing. There isn't that now, so you've got to ask the question: Would Arteta be able to get away with playing with performances like this? You know, this cautious approach, not creating chances, if there were the 60,000 sitting behind with their arms crossed and moaning and groaning like they used to. I don't think he would be able to get away with it to a certain extent. It's almost, obviously, the way it is, it's almost training ground conditions. You know, you've only got people there from the members of staff and maybe one or two, but you haven't got the big majority there who want to get there and get entertained, who want to pay their money. You know, this is rubbish, you know, what am I paying for? So that's another caveat. That's something else to think about, because I don't think he would. I know it's early days, but the it's just too stale. It's too cautious, you know. We played City, a weakened City, and we were too cautious. We played a weakened Leicester City at home, and we were too cautious again. After a decent first half. I'm not thinking about anything. You know, if we get a point, you know, get away with their point, I'm happy with that. I'm not talking them up or anything, because we know how bad United have been. And we'll just play into their hands, won't we? We'll just go there, be cautious again, and then they'll want to turn up. But I just think if there was a crowd there, trying to get their money's worth, I don't think Arteta could continue to do it. He has to change the mentality. He has to, because otherwise it's going to be a long season.
Yeah, he has to become more progressive, and the hope is that he sees it and his coaching staff see it quickly enough to make the changes that are needed, because it isn't just about, you know, the bad result or something. These performances have been going on since the start of the season, haven't they? But a few questions that we've answered already. Will at the Warm Boom, Top Man says, too many square pegs in round holes. We mentioned that, Willie, you know, about putting Saka out right, sorry, out left, and putting Aubameyang out right. Saka, you know, in that position obviously makes sense, but putting Aubameyang out right in that type of front three just doesn't make any sense. You know, we've talked about Willian playing in a false nine, putting Xhaka and Ceballos into sort of deep lying wing backs almost. A lot of this, you know, yeah, exactly. You just over egging it, like Mike said, simplify things, go back to basics, like James said. But Jamie McCleary says, why do we play three central defensive midfielders against a weak Leicester team? See, that is the thing. As we went back to, I don't want to go over it again, but he's got to be willing. Maybe he thought Leicester were going to be far more expansive. I mean, they were at Man City, right? They scored five at Man City. I watched that game. I don't remember how expansive they were, to be honest, off the top of my head, but they scored five. Like, so that's more chances than they created against us in 90 minutes. So they were far more expansive. So they must have looked at us, and basically they did a number on us. They looked at us and went, if we sit back, they're not going to create much after a while. And that's the real frustration. And if he's going to play those three DMs, then let's see Ceballos in the hole then. Let's see what you think of him in the hole. If you're going to play those three players, put one of them in the creative space that we need to create more centrally, rather than being so predictable and going wide. because
it was almost the same as the game we played against them after lockdown when we drew that game 1-1. Ketia got sent off, but it was practically the same. First half was probably, as far as I can remember, the best period of football we played under Arteta. And we should have been 3 or 4-0 up that half. And then what happened? We got the red card. We were hanging on, and then obviously Vardy came up and did what he normally does. So it was almost like a replay. So really, he should have known how they were going to set up to a certain extent, you know, and especially with some of those key players who were playing in that one, who in that game weren't playing in the one yesterday, you know. So it's just so frustrating.
Yeah,
so,
it's really, and their goal mimicked our goal in that game. If you remember, it was from a deep pass. Ceballos was ours in that game, and he was never in that position in this game. I thought it was pretty poor Ceballos, but he was never in that position. Yeah. And then we played Saka outright. Played the same front three, but we played Saka outright, you know, and kept Aubameyang out left, and we were far more creative and collectively better. But yeah, very frustrating again. Yeah, to not be able to continue that through for the 90 minutes. But Ash_Gallagher again, like, go follow Ash Gallagher because he gives us questions every week. Who do I need to get photos off to get Orba central centre forward with Saka on the left and Pepe on the right? I mean, we don't think it's as simple as Gunnosaurus. Yeah. We don't think it's as simple as that, but that's definitely the front three I would like to see in terms of output, collectively, in terms of being more dynamic going forward. Absolutely agree with you. James, in the light of the news, the club offered Mustafi a contract extension. How much confidence do you have in Edu, and would you play Saliba in the Premier League? You take the Mustafi one, I'll give Mike the Saliba one. Go ahead.
I think it was desperation. I think this was offered before, obviously, we did what we did in the transfer market. Yeah. So I think this is before, obviously, Gabriel come in. And it was also the fact of they were like, oh, he's new to the league. He might have an adjustment period and he might not do very well. Well, he's arguably the best signing that we've made this season. Obviously, Partey's only been here a short while, so I can't really judge him on the 3 games that he's played. But yeah, it was. But also, again, stems back to the poor decisions that were made by the previous regime at overpaying donkey players on high wages. Because he's gone now. Screw your new contract. I'll sit here until. I mean, there was talks in the summer that he was going to go to Italy and play for Lazio and Roma or somewhere. I'm like, Mustafi with ultras? Are you joking? He makes a mistake like he makes yesterday. He's going to need Kolasinac, an army. He's getting lynched. He's going to get lynched. Like, you,
he it's amazing.
Going to Lazio or someone like that. They'll kill him. They will actually, and I'm not even joking, they will physically harm the guy.
All I'm saying with that is it's so incredible how when you can almost time it when we've lost a game, 24 hours later, there'll be a report coming out to annoy Arsenal fans even more. It doesn't matter what it is. The next one will be Ozil signing a new contract. There'll be something coming out. And you look at that, you just kind of have to take it a little bit tongue in cheek. But also, I've just had this huge hope that Arteta makes it to next season. I'm not sounding negative, but there is so much opportunity next summer with these players that are going to be off the books, right? I mean, 700 grand just gone, off the books. And with a club that is so self-sustainable as Arsenal, the opportunities are absolutely endless for a coach that knows how to use the money. And I really, really hope and pray that it is Arteta that is that manager.
Do you think he retains Luis for another year? Or do you think that's Luis?
I think that'll be him done, to be honest. Despite the fact that I think maybe he keeps him in some sort of some capacity.
Yeah.
But I think that's him done because I think we go big again in that position next year anyway. So that would be it. But I mean, in a way, you can understand. I can't understand, Ash, the Mustafi extension. We've seen enough of it. But, you know, you're losing a lot of experienced players at the back next season. You're losing Socrates for sure. You're losing Luis for sure. I'd probably still expect someone like Chambers maybe to be moved on, maybe. And then the rest you've got there are quite young. Gabriel's still quite young. Mavropanos, if he comes back, is quite young. Mari's probably the only sort of aging experienced one you've got. And I think Mari will probably fill that Luis experience role. I don't know how good he is, but in terms of the profile of player, I think he has a lot of distributing similar attributes. I don't know if he's at the level of Luis, but I also don't necessarily think Luis is built to play a back four long term anyway. So I think we will move beyond it. Mike, I don't think it's going to happen, but he says, would you play Saliba in the Premier League? I mean, that would be really bold, but I think we'd all be behind it at this point, wouldn't we?
Yeah, but I just think the way the club have dropped the ball by not having him registered for Europa League games. I mean, I've mentioned it a few weeks ago, but that was an open goal there to get him playing against that opposition. And we've cocked it up for whatever reason, whether we were trying to get him away on loan. Premier League, it might come to a point where we haven't got a choice, you know, especially if the centre-backs keep dropping like flies. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Mustafi plays Thursday, then he picks up an injury because he's just come back and he's played two games, sort of in that turnaround. What I'm worried about is we're overplaying Gabriel, and he's literally might be the one to hold everything together, you know, and he's just come in. This is like seventh game in an Arsenal shirt. So, yeah, it's a worry, you know. If we were creating chances and scoring tons of goals up front, and we were blowing teams out of sight, I'd say, yeah, play him. Yeah. But you're putting him in the back when we're so rigid, we're so stale, everything hinges on one little mistake, and then we concede. You don't really want to throw a 19-year-old kid into that situation. You need to sort everything out at the top first before you probably get him on, and then he's maybe thinking, Christ, if I make a mistake, this could be it. This could not be sideways.
The thing I'll add to that, though, Michael, is say Saliba come on yesterday, same result, and he makes the same mistake that Mustafi makes. I'm not that angry because...
But the collective might be...
He's 19... And he might learn from that. Mustafi has let us down for 5 years, and Mustafi won't ever learn. Mustafi's like, if you go to an open play area with a bunch of kids and you just throw a grenade in there, and then all of a sudden you come back and all the kids have exploded or whatever, and you're like, oh, how's that happened? Well, you put a grenade in with a bunch of babies, mate. That's why. Do you know what I mean? The guy just doesn't ever learn, and he won't ever learn. And again, it's another one who's, and I don't blame him, because Arsenal gave him we were stupid enough to give a player of that calibre. Gary Neville said it, and look how well he did when he was a manager. He went, Arsenal were the only club that would ever pay 35 million for, he went, we were never going to turn that money down. He went, Arsenal were the only people silly enough to pay it.
You don't want him to be making those mistakes when it costs us a game, when the game's like on the knife edge like that, you know, that's going to happen anyway, regardless, whatever he comes in, you know, things like that might happen. But I just think with the pressure and everything being as it is at the moment, and the way people start to get restless with the performances, and the fact that we're not, you know, scoring goals, we're not creating chances fluidly. It's a lot. As each of these games go by, that back four or back five or back three, whatever you want, they're going to start to get a little bit on their toes, a little bit restless. It's like, come on, you lot. Sort something out ahead of us, because we can't keep doing this.
It's like at one end, you can't put everything on one chance. Well, we don't want to, right? We're looking at Lacazette's chance over and over again, thinking, what a miss that is. Like we did at Anfield, and in a way, we're right. But you've got to create more volume, and it's the same at the other end, right? Is everything going to be on one mistake because we can't? We're not creating enough at the other end, right?
That's the frustration. New kit that we walked out in on the weekend.
Yes. It's for
the human rate, the Pharrell stuff. That promo that was made for all of that, is that from weeks back or is that recent? Because Saliba was prominent in that.
He
was talking to Ian Wright all about, I want to be in, I want to do this. And part of me is like,
probably from way back then, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Because I'm like, if that's recent, and obviously, you know, I can't tell how people grieve and how to handle grief and everything else. But for me, I'm like, surely this guy just wants to play football now. He just wants to get in and play his football. I mean, I watched UFC at the weekend, yeah? And it was highly emotional when Khabib done what he done, took his gloves off and went, that's me. You know, I promised my mum, my father passed away, I'm doing it one more, then that's it. But I'm like, the level of performance from the guy, considering the emotional turmoil that he was in, was sensational. And it's weird what things motivate people. And it's, for me, I see no reason why this guy at 19 can't be any better than what we already have.
Yeah, we dropped the ball massively on the midweek stuff. The Europa League stuff is just unbelievable. When you drop the ball on that, there's no explanation for that decision at this point, you know, especially with the injuries that we've had, et cetera, you know, and now having to play your first choice centre-backs twice a week is just, and you shouldn't be having to do that at this point. I just don't think you should. Last question was from Kyle Foley. He talks about Laka being central. He said, if Aubrey is central with Pepe or Saka or Willian or Nelson playing on the wings, he believes it's a better option to unlock defences, or is it the number 8 Temra? We discussed both of those. We really think it's not just a solution of, you know, playing Aubrey central, though we do think that would be a start. We think it's multiple things in terms of the setup, the system, but also I see a lot of sort of tentativeness about Arteta in his attacking process, you know, and reluctance to take the handbrake off, you know, as Arsene Wenger once said, to take the handbrake off and just release the players. I think we saw that yesterday, you know, in latter stages where he's just dropping central midfielders into wide fullback roles rather than just letting it go and trusting your two centre-backs, you know, and maybe injuries haven't helped him there, you know, maybe if it was Luis and Gabriel, maybe he'd have a little bit more trust. But at the end of the day, you know, you've got to take the risk. You've got to take the risk to get the 3 points. And in the second half, we weren't willing to do that. And we suffered the consequences, I think. Just quick predictions for midweek. I think we've got Dundalk. I don't know a ton about them. I think they lost to Mold 2-1. Obviously, they're from Ireland. Be a huge game if there was fans in place, of course. But James, what's your predictions? And give me maybe a couple of players you want to see start in that game.
Yeah. Well, obviously, Leno stays in goal because he said he's playing his goalkeeper in every competition now. He don't have a cup goalkeeper. Cedric is coming in. It's going to have to be Gabriel and Mustafi because there's no one else, which I don't want, but hey-ho. I would say Kolasinac at left-back. I'd do Elneny and Willock, Emil Smith-Rowe, and I would do Willian, Nelson, and Nketiah up top. I'd go completely different to... I mean, you could say put Pepe in, but I would rather Pepe play against United. So I'd rather play Willian in this and go Pepe against Man U. But I think even though we are what we are currently, and we've discussed it at length, and Dundalk were ahead, I think, against Mould, and then Mould pull it back to win it, a bit like our game. I think with what I've said with that lineup and everything else, I'm going to go 4-1. I think we might actually finally...
I can't imagine us scoring 4 against anyone at this point. I know, it could be my high school team. I just can't imagine it. So. 4-1, and first scorer is...
I'm going to go for Emil Smith-Rowe. I'm going to say...
I hope he plays.
To make Neil happy, because when he played in the Europa League 2 seasons ago, he was marching forward in front of that centre-forward like we asked for earlier, and we said we wanted that Willock can do. And yeah, I just want to see a player that unlocks that door. And I think he might have the potential to do it, especially against, you know, no disrespect, but against Dundalk and in the Europa League. I think this is the time. This is the time to get it going.
Yeah, Mike, youngsters should see it as an opportunity, shouldn't they, with Saka. What's your prediction and first goal scorer and who you like to see maybe?
Yeah, I'd like to see Willock play. I just think he's been out of it for a little while. Yeah. Nelson. If Emil Smith-Rowe's fit, yeah, 100%. You know, he'd be the first person on the team sheet. I'd say we'll win 2-0. Pretty conservative one. And Eddie to score. I think he'll start. But if Lacazette's put in a performance like he had, especially that second half, there might be a chance that Eddie might start next week up against Maguire. You know, I'd like to see that race. Him getting a ball down the channel for him to run onto. I think he'll give Maguire nightmares because he's like a rash, but you just worry about he's giving away the free kicks like Lacazette does, real silly ones. You know, he did that when he came on, you know, and again, I think it was born of frustration, but gave away some really silly free kicks and just killed the momentum a little bit. If, you know, even though it was quite small, you know, just needs to sort of curb that. But I would like to see Eddie Thursday and see him again. It's on Sunday, is it? We've got them because
it must be Sunday. I don't know what time.
So I'd like to see Eddie play. I say 2-0 and Eddie to score.
2-0, Eddie to score. Yeah, you're right, though. Eddie's probably more likely to play on Sunday than Aubameyang Central. So I think it's much more likely that we see that. I mean, Aubameyang Central hasn't been used yet.
4:30 Sunday.
Oh, a normal time. Hopefully it's on pay-per-view.
No, it's not. It's on the proper channel. I mean, that's up for discussions. They've all said they're going to meet tomorrow.
For a £5 drop. Mike Ashley was a bit of a push on that, wasn't he?
I know. Because it's a tenner now. That's much better, isn't it?
They were always going to do that. They're always going to do that. Drop it and act like they were like Mother Teresa. There you go. I'll give you it.
Did you hear some of the numbers for some of those, the fixtures? Yeah,
yes.
74 people watch West Brom Burnley.
Yeah, but I think I saw somewhere.
More people watch our pod every week, and I love them for it. Keep watching.
I think 70,000. I think 70,000 people paid for the Arsenal game. Oh, wow. 70,000, and I think that was the highest of all the pay-per-view games that they've had so far. I think the United Newcastle one or something like that was 30,000. But our one was 70,000, which was 10,000 more than what the next one was. I don't know what that was, but.
They drop it to £5. They'll get 10 times the numbers, surely.
Yeah.
So, just checked as well. Just idiots for doing that. No injury concern for Emil Smith Rowe. He is cleared. according to
there's always a chance in a warm up. There's always a chance in a warm up, as we know. I'll do midweek. I'll do midweek. I'll say 3-1. 3-1 Arsenal. I'll say Pepe hat trick. That's what I'll say. 3-1 Arsenal. Hey. He'll definitely start him because he ain't going to start him at Old Trafford. No chance. So definitely start him. Boys, it's been good. We're on YouTube. We are posting the links to YouTube at Purely Arsenal FP. Thank you, Kyle, Willie, Ash, Jamie, McCleary, Warm Boom, Melvin Marks, and Camahello and Atui Prince for all your questions. And to Mike and James for coming on. We're on all normal podcast apps always. We'll come back after Thursday's win and build up to the big win at Old Trafford, which would be the first since when was the last? Was it Adebayor 1-0?
Yeah. Adebayor, yeah.
Was it Adebayor 1-0? Was that 2011 or something? 2012? When was it? 2012? I don't remember. Earlier?
You got people going about the Welbeck one. I'm like, that was the cup, mate. One-off game.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't include that
one yet. We always win these one-off games, you know.
Yeah. Some one-off game.
You get a girl from the top 10 of FHM. For one date, I might be all right, but 38 dates, she's going to get after having a nightmare. It's the consistency.
That's what I worried. I tweeted that. Are we a cup side? And I think we might have to come to terms with it. We're an absolute cup side, but we have to hopefully not come into terms with it just yet. Keep it going for a little bit longer. Let me enjoy the league a little bit. But, boys, thank you so much. We'll be up. We'll be up as soon as that's sorted. Take care, boys. Thank you so much.